First of all, yeah, about myself, I'm Ian Gadsby. I'm the managing director of Elam Energy, based up here in Salford. I've been with this business really since it started in the early 1990s, so quite a long time. We've always been in the energy sector, different parts of the energy sector. So historically, we were more renewables focused around landfill gas to energy, but also cogeneration, which is the combination of heat and electrical energy being provided by reciprocating engines, normally fueled by natural gas. So we've built a relatively substantial business around that, or those different areas. And around 6 years ago, we sold the cogeneration business to Centrica, and we retained the renewables part of our business, which we continue to operate. And then we diverged into what's really described as flexibility now. So this is the new energy market that we see, the new energy sector as it is, as it's evolved, and with the increase in intermittent renewables, wind and solar primarily, the decrease in substantial baseload energy such as coal-fired power stations, or even larger natural gas fueled stations. The reliance on intermittent renewables means that there has to be some backstop to enable the lights to stay on and people to receive power. So we've seen opportunities to get involved both front of the meter and behind the meter to assist to keep the grid stable.
What is the biggest issue that people tend to come up to you with? What's preventing them from just switching over? Because for all accounts, it's been working fine for them for so long. Why should they change now? And especially for smaller businesses, is it an affordable route for them?
Yeah, so you're quite right. People have traditionally just done what they've always done, taken the power from the grid, and they might occasionally, periodically shop around suppliers to get a better bill. But in a climate where the cost of the energy is not the most significant factor in your business, perhaps. People just tend to accept it. Historically, that's what it's been. And can I really get much of a margin on that? And am I taking a risk if I do that? So I'll just stick with the status quo, and I'll pay what I need to pay, and I'll receive my energy through the grid. Some businesses have been forward thinking and have installed on-site renewables, for example, but they're very few and far between, to be honest. The ones that did it, probably as an early stage, did it to benefit from the feed-in tariff, which meant that they needed, they were exporting to the grid rather than utilizing it. They were just housing a renewable energy project rather than getting direct benefit from that, or other than obviously some revenue from the scheme. So that I would say, businesses need to start thinking, and certainly they are now, because this has been derived out of the fact that we're seeing a huge cost increase for energy. So this stimulates the thought processes, what can I do differently? So this is actually making a lot more businesses sit up and think about the merits of on-site generation. And the way that we construct our business model is completely risk-free to the business on site. And that's a real key factor here. So we're not saying, because we're going to produce energy on site for you, you're disconnected from the grid and you've suddenly become this island that's completely now reliant on me. You're still connected to the grid. You've still got the backstop option. You'll still have a PPA in place with your supplier. It's just that most of the time you'll be getting a cost benefit from the on-site generation. So it's very risk-free, and I'm not sure that all businesses understand that at this stage. But and certainly for smaller businesses, you have a part of your question. So we're primarily interested in intensive energy businesses of a certain scale, because for obvious reasons, right? But clearly, the same issues apply for smaller business. And I would encourage any smaller business to look at on-site generation as a solution for them. It doesn't fit into our business model to provide a solution for those. And I think there are procurement routes that people can take. They can put a small amount of solar on the roof, for example, to offset their costs. But I think for smaller businesses, there are some real options out there. They're not necessarily options that Elim can provide, but the similar model is available, I should say, to smaller businesses. They just need to look at that from a procurement perspective rather than from a funded perspective, which is the way we look at it.
And in terms of, sorry, Gwen, I was just going to say as well, because in terms of capital investment, you'd noted that on the last question that you'd sent. Ian, I don't know if you want to talk a bit more about the funded model, which, is one of the key advantages that Elim, offers.
Sure. So our model is very much about building, owning, and operating generating plant, whether that's front of meter or behind the meter. But in this instance, we're discussing on-site generation behind the meter, and their model is the same for that. So we are really interested in businesses, intensive businesses, that don't want to or can't invest their own money into and put their own capital into these solutions. And that might be for a number of reasons. It might be that they need to expand their facility, they need their capital for other projects that are more core to their activity. They can be relatively capital intensive, these types of projects. So we would take all of that capital risk on. We pay for everything. We own and operate the technology, but on the host's premises and on their site under a license to occupy. And we enter into a simple PPA, power purchase agreement, with the business, where they buy the energy at a set price per kilowatt, which is a substantial discount to the grid. So it's a very simplistic model, but avoids all capital expenditure from the business. It's worth mentioning that, businesses might look at that and say, yeah, well, what's the risk here for me? We de-risk our model substantially in that we want businesses to engage with us with that model. We want them to, and they should be happy to enjoy the substantial discount to their grid cost of energy. But if their business circumstances change substantially, and they can, let's say, they can buy from the grid cheaper than we're offering it to, that's a very unlikely scenario, but let's just say that those things happened, we provide guarantees around that we will actually stop generating, we'll pause generation if that was just a temporary situation that's happening. And we're prepared to work with the businesses in a realistic way to take that risk or share that risk with them, rather than just saying that we've invested our capital, we must get it all back regardless. So we're realistic in that sense, and that's reflected in the way we would approach these types of contracts.
Obviously, you've already mentioned that there is an energy crisis. Would you say that your model is the ideal solution to that? And is it now a case of, in your eyes, do you think this is just going to keep going up and up in price? And will manufacturers be forced in the end to follow a model similar, either yours or similar to it?
Well, we are in a we certainly are in an energy crisis. It's worth pointing out that we were in an energy crisis before the current situation in Ukraine arose, and it's easy to get blinded by that a little bit and think that this is all as a result of Ukraine. It's been enhanced as an issue because of Ukraine, but the problem was there before. So this is to a large degree about, we find ourselves in an energy transition, as I mentioned, and a huge reliance across Europe, certainly, for gas, because we've stopped using coal. We want to use more renewables, but we've got to make a transition. And that largely is shouldered by the use of gas. So typically in the UK, I don't know, 50%, 40 to 50% on any given day of our power generation is coming from gas, derived fuel. So the demand, the global demand is increasing for that, and it's a commodity, and that's really what was driving up the prices, and that will continue even if we have peace in Ukraine tomorrow, and everything goes back to a peaceful situation. The underlying issue around demand for the gas molecule and the commodity that is natural gas is there, and therefore the prices are going to remain high for some time. And certainly for the medium term, we're going to see more renewables. We're going to see perhaps some more use of nuclear, but it takes 15 years to build a nuclear power plant, even if you can. That's after you've made the decision to build it, and it can take years to make the decision. So we're many years away from the resilience that we might get from alternative technologies, lower CO2 technologies, and unfortunately, we will have to rely on gas. And gas is going to be expensive, and that will feed into the power of the cost of electrical energy from the grid. So, although we're in a crisis at this point in time, further exacerbated by Ukraine, we're seeing wholesale prices. If we take that a year ago, we were probably looking at somewhere £57, 55, £57 a megawatt hour. Any forward prices at the moment, I checked them this morning, wholesale prices projected out to 2025 are still trading at over £100 a megawatt hour. Okay. And still double that, £200 a megawatt hour until April 23. Okay, so that's a huge hike up from where we were, and that feeds back into PPA prices. So one of the, does have we got the ideal solution? Well, I think the numbers tell the story. So a typical business at the moment might be paying, and it really varies because everybody locks into their PPAs at different times. So you've got to take a longer term view as to where you're going to land rather than what you're currently paying. But you may be paying 12 pence a kilowatt hour if you're really lucky at the moment because you're locked in and at the right time. But that's coming to an end, so it might be 12, 15 pence. If you locked in the last 12 months, you're probably paying somewhere between 25 and at the top end, perhaps 40 pence a kilowatt hour. Okay. And that's the reality of every business at the moment. Our PPA price range is somewhere between 2.5 to 4 pence a kilowatt hour. So, I think that answers the question as to whether it's ideal or not. So, and we're not in a blip. This is a long-term upward trend. It always has been. It's just more pronounced at the moment, and will continue to be so for some time.